ever get the feeling, and maybe this is just me, but like history just has a way of, repeating itself.
Oh, absolutely.
Like we see the same mistakes over and over.
Yeah.
And it's like, haven't we learned anything? And that's actually what we're going to be diving into today.
Right.
We're going to be taking a deep dive into the work of a historian who really saw a lot of what's happening today coming, which I don't know about you, but
Yeah.
that's kind of like spooky to me.
It is a little eerie when
You
you
really
yeah.
look at it.
Yeah.
So the historian is Dr. Kenneth Maxwell.
Right.
Now, he was an expert on 18th century Brazil and Portugal.
You might think.
You might think, right?
At first
It's like,
glance.
what does that have to do with anything going on today?
Right, exactly.
But he was so much more than that.
He was.
He had this incredible way of connecting the past to the present,
Yeah.
and really understanding how those echoes of history shape the world we live
And
in.
what's amazing is how far back he was drawing these connections, like way back
Oh.
to the 18th century, to these seemingly unrelated events. And then he would just
Yeah.
connect the dots to the present in these mind-blowing ways.
Yeah, like he was writing about the dangers of repeating history in Afghanistan back in 2001,
Right.
like right when things were really heating up there.
At the cusp of it all.
And it's eerie how much his warnings from back then resonate with what actually happened
Yeah.
years later.
Absolutely. And it's not just that he predicted it, it's the way he explained it.
Yeah.
He was drawing these parallels to the 19th century Anglo-Afghan wars,
Right.
where the British tried to exert their influence. And you know how that went?
Right, not so well.
It did not go well.
It's like they underestimated the local resistance, the desire for
Absolutely.
self-determination.
The desire for self-determination.
Yeah, they're just powerful force.
You can't just impose your will on people who have a completely different history and
And
culture.
expect it to go smoothly.
Yeah, and expect it to go smoothly, right?
Like, and that's just one example, right? Maxwell's insights go way beyond Afghanistan. We're talking about everything from like the nitty-gritty of Brazilian politics
Right.
to get this, a fascinating connection to Thomas Jefferson and the U.S.
I know,
Constitution.
right? It's wild.
Okay, wait, hold up.
Yeah.
How does an 18th century historian focusing on like Brazil and Portugal
Right.
end up intertwined with like Thomas Jefferson?
Yeah.
This, I gotta hear.
Okay, so picture this. Maxwell's in Brazil, right? And he stumbles upon this rare pamphlet
Okay.
smuggled all the way from Philadelphia in the 1780s.
No
I
way.
kid you not. And inside, early drafts of U.S. state constitutions carrying those radical, at the time, ideas of individual rights, representative government,
Wow.
the good stuff.
The good stuff. So you're telling me those documents, like hidden away in some dusty corner of Brazil,
Yeah.
actually sparked a fire
It, you know,
across continents?
it's like this forgotten chapter of intellectual history,
Wow.
but it shows how ideas can transcend borders, time, you know.
It makes you think about what ideas are floating around today that might be doing the same thing,
Right,
right?
precisely.
Sparking change in these unexpected corners of the world.
And we might not even realize it. You know, it's happening all around us.
That's incredible.
It is.
And that's what makes Maxwell's work so relevant. He
Absolutely.
wasn't content with just like documenting the past,
Right,
right?
yeah.
He wanted to understand how it shapes the world we're living in right now.
Exactly. He was all about making those connections.
So we've got these echoes of the past in Afghanistan,
Yeah.
this global ripple effect of ideas,
Powerful stuff.
and we haven't even gotten to
Oh,
Brasilia.
believe me, we're getting there.
That's a whole other
The whole other thing,
can of
yeah.
worms, yeah. But before we go there, let's talk about something a little closer to home for Maxwell Academia.
Okay.
It's not all dusty books and hushed whispers,
Oh,
right?
not at all. Especially when you've got figures like C.R. Boxer in the mix.
Sir Boxer, no, he was a
Renowned historian.
Yeah, but he was accused of collaborating with Japan during World War II.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Accusations of treason against a prominent historian.
I know, it's crazy, right?
Yeah, that's some serious
It was a
drama.
huge scandal.
What did Maxwell uncover about that whole situation?
Okay, so Maxwell, he considered Boxer a mentor.
Okay.
So naturally, he felt compelled to defend him.
Right.
So he digs deep into the archives, you know, primary sources, the whole nine yards,
Yeah.
and he starts meticulously debunking these accusations one by one.
Wow.
And the picture that emerges is not so simple.
Right.
Boxer was this complex figure,
Right.
trying to navigate the incredibly dangerous circumstances of wartime.
Yeah, like nuanced.
Extremely nuanced.
Not black and white.
Not at all. Yeah. It was all shades of gray.
And that's something that's so important to remember, right?
Always.
History is rarely black and white.
It really is.
It's full of these shades of gray.
Absolutely.
It requires us to really, like, dig deeper.
Yeah.
Consider multiple perspectives.
Exactly.
Before we can even begin to, like, form an opinion.
Exactly. And that's one of the big takeaways from Maxwell's work. You can't just take things at face value. You have to be willing to dig deeper, to question your assumptions.
It's a good reminder for all of us, not just historians, right?
Absolutely.
But speaking of shades of gray and complex situations, let's finally turn our attention to Brazil.
All right, let's do it.
Maxwell was incredibly tuned into that country's journey.
Oh, he was living and breathing Brazil.
Yeah.
He wasn't just observing from afar. He was right there in the thick of it.
From, like, its economic highs.
Right. The boom.
To its political struggle.
The bus, the whole roller coaster.
And he didn't shy away from, like, voicing his opinions on those things either.
Oh, no. He was very vocal.
Right.
Especially when it came to the political elite.
He was critical.
Very critical.
Of the political elite.
He saw them as being out of touch, disconnected from the everyday realities of ordinary Brazilians.
Yeah, it's like he saw those deep-rooted challenges.
Oh, absolutely. He knew they were there.
The social and racial disparities.
Simmering beneath the surface, even during times of economic prosperity.
Yeah, and he wasn't afraid to kind of like ruffle some feathers to point those things out.
He wasn't afraid of a little controversy.
Right.
Especially if it meant speaking truth to power.
Because it's so easy to get caught up in, oh, the economy's doing well.
Right.
Everything's great.
But he knew better.
But he saw those underlying issues.
He saw the cracks in the facade.
Yeah. And it's something we see time and time again, right?
Oh, absolutely. History's full of those cautionary tales.
Even in booming economies.
Yeah.
If those deep-rooted challenges, those inequalities, they're not addressed.
It's only a matter of time before they bubble over.
Exactly. And then things can unravel pretty quickly.
And they often do.
And that's what makes Maxwell's work so compelling.
He had his finger on the pulse. He really did.
He was paying attention to those things.
He was connecting the dots, seeing the bigger picture.
He was able to connect those internal struggles in Brazil to something that, on the surface, seems completely unrelated.
Okay. I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
Brazil's decision on which fighter jet to purchase.
Wait, what? How does that tie into everything else? That seems like such a specific kind of niche issue.
You've got Boeing, you've got Dassault, you've got Saab, all vying for this contract.
Right, big players.
And Maxwell saw this as a microcosm of how global power dynamics play out.
Okay, now that's interesting.
Even in these seemingly small decisions.
I see where you're going with this.
He, like, dissects the lobbying efforts, the political maneuvering, the role of national industries.
Right, because it's never just about the jets themselves.
It's this high-stakes game.
It's about influence, alliances, positioning on the world stage.
So even something as specific as buying a fighter jet becomes this, like, proxy battle.
Absolutely.
For influence, for countries' place on the world stage.
It's all connected.
And what's fascinating is how he ties this back to his idea of disaggregated globalization.
Okay, so explain that, because I think a lot of people hear globalization and their eyes kind of glaze over.
Yeah, it's become such a buzzword.
Yeah, exactly.
But Maxwell had a very specific way of looking at it.
Right.
He's talking about this shift away from, like, a U.S.-led world order.
Right, the old order is crumbling.
To something new.
A more fragmented multipolar system.
Yeah, like the pieces on the chessboard are being scrambled.
I like that analogy. It's like the old game is over and a new one's beginning. And with different players, different rules.
And it creates space for new players to emerge.
Exactly.
For old alliances to shift.
And for countries like Brazil to really assert themselves.
Yeah, to flex their muscles a bit more on the world stage.
This is starting to feel very relevant to everything that's happening right now.
Right. It's like he had this crystal ball.
He was ahead of his time.
He could see these trends emerging.
And he wasn't afraid to talk about them.
Before most people even realized what was happening.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of exploring his work.
It's like looking at the present through the lens of the past.
He provides this framework for understanding the complex forces shaping our world.
And he does it in a way that's both insightful and engaging.
From those echoes of past conflicts.
Right, the lessons we never seem to learn.
To the ripple effects of ideas.
Those invisible forces that shape destinies.
And that ever-evolving dance of global power.
It's a dance that never ends.
It's all connected.
It is, and Maxwell helps us see those connections in ways we might never have imagined.
It's like he's giving us the keys to unlock a deeper understanding of the world.
Exactly.
And that's a powerful thing.
Knowledge is power, as they say.
It is.
And understanding history is one of the most powerful tools we have.
So buckle up, listeners, because we're about to go even deeper into Dr. Maxwell's world.
That could be a wild ride.
But trust me, it's a journey worth taking.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we're talking about a world where, like, the old rules are kind of being thrown out the window.
Yeah, it's a whole new ballgame.
New players are stepping up. And countries like Brazil are, like, trying to find their footing.
They're trying to figure out where they fit.
In this new world order.
Yeah, it's a real balancing act.
So how does a country like Brazil, with its own internal struggles, right?
Right, let's not forget about those.
And a history shaped by colonialism.
Which, of course, has had a lasting impact.
How do they navigate this new world order? It's a big question.
It is, and that's where Maxwell's insights become even more crucial.
Okay, so what's he saying?
He's not just leaving us with these, like, grand theories about globalization and power shifts. He brings us right into the heart of Brazil.
Into the thick of it.
Exactly. He gets into the nitty-gritty.
Yeah, like those descriptions he gives of the political scene there, it's intense.
Oh, he doesn't hold back.
No, he does not.
He talks about the gridlock, the corruption scandals, those deep divisions within society.
He seemed particularly worried about Brazil's democracy, didn't he?
Oh, absolutely. He was very concerned about its fragility.
Like all that progress they had made.
Right, the hard-won freedoms.
He saw them as being very vulnerable.
Especially if those in power weren't held accountable.
It's kind of a cautionary tale, isn't it?
It is, and it makes you think about how fragile progress can be.
One minute you've got this booming economy.
Right. Everyone's optimistic.
The next you're dealing with, like, massive corruption.
And a complete loss of trust in the system.
Exactly.
And Maxwell saw this happening in Brazil, even as the country was experiencing this economic rise.
It's like that saying, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Right.
Right. And sometimes it's not even about falling. It's about those cracks that are already there widening.
And that's what he was worrying about, those underlying issues that were being ignored.
He was like a canary in the coal mine.
So how does this tie back to disaggregated globalization? Because I feel like that's the thread that connects a lot of what we're talking about.
It is. And it's a crucial connection, Maxwell argues, that this shift away from a U.S.-centric world order, this more fragmented system.
Right, like we were talking about earlier.
Exactly. It actually creates opportunities for countries like Brazil.
Opportunities?
Yes.
Yeah.
To assert themselves more forcefully on the global stage.
So it's like a double-edged sword.
In a way, yes.
On the one hand, you've got all these internal challenges.
Right, the corruption, the inequality, the political instability.
But on the other hand, you've got this chance to, like, rewrite the rules of the game.
Exactly, to forge new alliances, to pursue your own interests more independently.
It's kind of exciting when you think about it that way, right?
It is. It's a time of great potential, but also great uncertainty.
Okay, so how does Brazil navigate that uncertainty?
Well, that's where things get really interesting. And this is where Maxwell's analysis of what he calls the new technological Cold War comes in.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
He's talking about the U.S. and China, of course.
Right. The big dogs on the block.
And he shows how Brazil, like many other countries, is caught right in the middle of this rivalry.
Like trying to choose sides in a family feud.
Kind of, but with much higher stakes.
Because if you choose the wrong side, there are consequences.
Exactly.
The Huawei 5G controversy is a perfect example of this, right?
Absolutely. That was a real wake-up call for a lot of countries.
Because it wasn't just about technology, was it?
No, it was about so much more. It was about economics, security, and ultimately about choosing between aligning with the U.S. or China.
And Maxwell really breaks down those considerations, right?
He does. He dissects the economic and political calculations that countries like Brazil are making.
Trying to balance those relationships.
Exactly, because you don't want to alienate either superpower.
It's a real tightrope walk.
It is, and Maxwell captures that tension perfectly.
But it's not just about geopolitics and these, like, grand strategic calculations, right?
Right, because at the end of the day, it's about people.
Maxwell brings in that human element.
He always does.
Those personal observations about Brazilian culture and society.
He had a way of connecting with people, of understanding their stories.
I remember that anecdote he shared about his Brazilian friend who could barely speak Portuguese.
Oh, right. That was classic Maxwell.
It was funny, but it also said so much about
the complexities of identity.
Yes. Like, here's this man living in Brazil, and yet he's more comfortable speaking another language.
It challenges our assumptions about what it means to belong.
To be a part of a nation, a culture.
Exactly. And I think that's something that Maxwell was always trying to get at, that sense of Like, there's always more to the story.
There are always layers to uncover.
And complexities that we might not initially see.
Okay, so we've got these internal struggles, we've got this new world order, and then there's that other thread that Maxwell brings in the history of the oil industry.
Right, because that's always been a major factor in global affairs.
And he uncovers this amazing story about the oil pipeline that used to run from Iraq to Haifa.
Oh, yeah, the one built in the 1930s.
It sounds like something out of an adventure novel.
It does, doesn't it?
And what's crazy is how he connects this defunct pipeline.
Right. It's just sitting there abandoned.
To the current situation in the Middle East.
Because even though it's not operational, it still holds this symbolic power.
Okay. I'm listening. How so?
Maxwell suggests that reviving this pipeline.
Which is a whole other can of worms, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. But just imagine for a second.
Okay. I'm imagining.
It could become a symbol of regional cooperation.
Okay. That's
a way to foster economic interdependence between Israel and its Arab neighbors.
Wow. Talk about thinking outside the box.
That was Maxwell. Always looking for those unconventional solutions.
So it's like history, even something as seemingly insignificant as an old pipeline.
Right, because it's not just a pipeline. It represents something bigger.
It can offer these like alternative ways of looking at present day challenges.
And that's what makes history so relevant. It provides us with context, with perspective, with a different lens through which to view the world.
It's like having a secret decoder ring.
I like that. Unlocking the hidden messages of the past.
So we've gone from the oil fields of Iraq to the halls of power in Brasilia. Is there anywhere else that Maxwell takes us?
Oh, he takes us all over the world. His historical lens knows no bounds.
He was like a global citizen.
He really was, always curious, always seeking out new perspectives, new connections.
Didn't he also write about the Portuguese Empire?
Oh, yeah. He had this whole fascinating analysis of their presence in the Persian Gulf.
Really? I don't know much about that.
It's a part of history that often gets overlooked. But Maxwell digs deep into their control of Hormuz, their influence in Bahrain, even their attempts to establish a base in Mosul.
The Portuguese were in Mosul. See, I had no idea.
It just goes to show you how interconnected the world was even centuries ago.
It really challenges our perceptions of the past.
Exactly. And that's what I love about Maxwell's work. He's like a detective, uncovering these forgotten narratives.
Piecing together the puzzle.
Showing us how empires have risen and fallen, leaving their mark on cultures and landscapes far beyond their borders.
So it's not just about knowing the dates and the names.
No, it's about understanding the stories, the connections, the lasting impact.
Because those echoes of the past are still with us today, right?
Absolutely. They shape the world we live in, whether we realize it or not.
Speaking of echoes, didn't Maxwell also write about the political turmoil in the UK?
Oh, yeah. He had a front row seat to the whole Brexit saga.
What a mess that was.
It was. And Maxwell didn't shy away from sharing his thoughts on it.
He was pretty critical of Boris Johnson, wasn't he?
He was. He saw him as a symptom of a much larger problem.
Which was?
The rise of populism, the erosion of trust in institutions, the deepening divisions within society.
So those same patterns we were talking about earlier, those cracks in the facade.
Exactly. They're not unique to Brazil. They're happening all over the world.
And it's a reminder that even in established democracies, those democratic institutions can be fragile.
More fragile than we often realize.
Vulnerable to manipulation, to political opportunism.
And that's why Maxwell stresses the importance of historical perspective.
Because if we don't learn from the past,
we're doomed to repeat it.
Exactly.
And it's not just about learning from our mistakes.
It's also about recognizing those warning signs, right?
Yes, before it's too late.
So are we just doomed to repeat history? Is that what Maxwell's saying?
No, not at all. He also highlights those moments of resilience, those instances where people come together to overcome adversity.
Right, because it's not all doom and gloom.
Exactly. There's always hope, always the possibility for positive change.
Didn't he write about the UK's response to the pandemic?
He did, and he was critical of the government's handling of it, as you might expect.
Rightfully so.
But he also highlighted those acts of courage and compassion.
People helping each other out.
Communities coming together.
Those moments of human connection that, like, shine through in the darkest of times.
Exactly. And that's what gives me hope, that even in the face of extraordinary challenges, humanity finds a way to endure.
To adapt.
To support one another.
And that's a good note to end on, don't you think?
I think so. Because it reminds us that even though the world can be a messy, complicated place, there's always hope.
It's that human element, that ability to come together, to persevere, that always seems to, like, shine through, even when things are at their darkest, you know?
Absolutely. It's that region.
that even though the world is constantly changing, those core values, those connections between people, they endure.
Exactly. And I think that's something that Maxwell was really trying to get at, those enduring truths about human nature.
Because even when we're talking about like these massive historical forces, global power shifts, technological revolutions, at the heart of it all,
are people trying to make sense of the world, trying to connect with each other.
And sometimes making the same mistakes over and over again.
Well, nobody's perfect.
That's true. That's true.
But I think that's where a historical perspective like the one Maxwell offers becomes so valuable.
Okay, so how so?
Because it allows us to see those patterns, those echoes of the past, and maybe, just maybe, learn from them.
So it's like that saying, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it.
Exactly. But it's not just about remembering. It's about understanding, about connecting the dots between what happened then and what's happening now.
And one of those connections that Maxwell makes, which I thought was really interesting, was about the British monarchy.
Oh, yeah. What did he have to say about the royals?
Well, you'd think an institution that's been around for centuries would be, like, immune to change, right?
You'd think so. But history has shown us time and time again that even the most powerful empires, the most enduring dynasties, they all eventually crumble.
And Maxwell was suggesting that even the crown isn't immune to those forces of change.
Yeah, he was definitely onto something there.
Especially with all those recent scandals, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, Prince Andrew. It's like the monarchy is facing this, like, identity crisis.
Right, trying to stay relevant in a world that's vastly different from the one they were born into.
It's like they're stuck between a rock and a hard place, holding on to tradition while also trying to adapt to these modern times.
And Maxwell drew some really interesting parallels between those modern-day royal scandals and those crises that, like, rocked the monarchy in the past.
Like what?
Well, he talks about the abdication of King Edward VIII, giving up the throne for Wallace Simpson.
Right, that was a huge scandal back in the day.
Exactly. And Maxwell argues that even though these events happened decades apart, they both reveal these fundamental tensions within the monarchy, these conflicts between love, duty, and the pressures of public life.
Wow, that's fascinating.
It is, isn't it? It's like history is rhyming, echoing those same themes across generations.
It's kind of poetic in a way, don't you think?
It is, and it makes you realize that even though the world has changed in countless ways, those core human dramas, those desires and conflicts, they remain remarkably consistent.
We're all human, after all.
Exactly. And speaking of enduring themes, Maxwell takes us on this incredible journey to 16th century Bolivia, to this legendary silver mining city called Potosi.
Potosi. I'll admit I had to look that one up.
It's not exactly a household name, but trust me, it's a fascinating story.
Okay, so what's so special about Potosi?
Well, imagine this. A remote city high up in the Andes Mountains suddenly transformed into this bustling cosmopolitan hub, all thanks to silver.
It's hard to imagine, like, this remote outpost being connected to the rest of the world.
I know, right? But Maxwell paints this vivid picture of Potosi at its peak, with people from all walks of life, merchants, adventurers, even slaves, all drawn to this boom town.
Sounds like something out of a movie.
It does, doesn't it? And it was all fueled by silver. Those mines were like nothing the world had ever seen.
So they were basically sitting on a gold mine, or a silver mine in this case.
Exactly. And that silver, it literally fueled global trade. It drove economic growth, shaped power dynamics all across continents.
Wow, I had no idea.
It just goes to show you how interconnected the world was even back then, and how events in one corner of the globe could have these ripple effects, shaping the destinies of people and empires thousands of miles away.
It's kind of humbling when you think about it, like how much influence one place can have.
It is, and it brings us back to that central theme of interconnectedness, this idea that we're all part of this grand narrative, shaped by events and decisions that happened long before we were born.
It's like we're all connected by these invisible threads stretching back through time.
Exactly. And those threads, they're made up of stories, of ideas, of those enduring human dramas that continue to play out century after century.
So what's the takeaway? What's the one thing you want listeners to remember from all of this?
Engage with history, question your assumptions, and never stop seeking out diverse perspectives. Because the more we understand the past, the better equipped we'll be to navigate the complexities of the present and create a more informed and hopefully a more just future.
That's a powerful message to end on. So, to everyone listening, take a moment to consider the world around you, the events that shape your life, and ask yourself, what are the historical echoes that resonate in my own world? What can I learn from the past to create a better future? That's something worth pondering, don't you think?
Absolutely. And I think that's a question that each of us should be asking ourselves every single day.